the first part of verse 30. Of course, the land of Israel was described as a land flowing with milk and honey, the expression meaning that God, having made the land fertile, would bless His people. He would bless the labors of their hands. There would be abundance in the land while they followed after Him, pleased Him, obeyed Him, trusted Him, served Him. The land flowing with milk and honey. Israel, too, would learn that God gave them every good thing. But He required of them a certain response. The beginning of verse 30 tells us what that response is. You will see that there is reference to the first fruits, and then later in the verse, reference to the bread, even to the produce of the oven. All was to be recognized as tokens of God's goodness, and there had to be a return made to the Lord. We'll just take the first part of verse 30, the first of all the first fruits of all things, and every oblation of all, and every sort of your oblations shall be the priests. They were to give to the sanctuary. Let's keep our Bibles open. We'll ask for the help of the Lord. Our Father, instruct us this day. Sit us down at thy feet. Give to us all the hearing heart. May we hear with the understanding. May we hear in such a way as to have the Word of God register with conviction and certainty that before we leave this house, we will know we have been with the Lord. Oh God, what blessed hours we have spent at thy feet. What joy has come to our souls through contemplating the Word of God. There have been times, Lord, when we have felt thy presence. We have known thy hand upon us. We have heard thy voice. It has been like a paradise by the way. We ask thee to bless us on this occasion. Let us find heavenly fellowship. Let us sit down with a wee bit of heaven for the atmosphere around us. May we feel as if we're sitting on the front doorstep of glory. Oh Lord, there's no reason why we shouldn't look for this. This is thy day. We meet in the manner described in thy word. We love thee. We have thy book in front of us. We're calling upon thee in prayer. We're looking for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in that word to sanctify us in our hearts. We're looking, Lord, for the best of the blessings. Thou hast promised us a place among the children. Thou hast brought us into the banqueting house. The banner over us there is love. Lord, in our Father's house, there is bread enough and to spare. And why shouldn't we then pray, Lord, give to us all a foretaste of heaven just this hour as we gather around thy feet. Come and minister to us. Prepare our hearts. Let us receive every good thing as from thy hand. O God, cause us to go forth to follow the Lord fully with a heart brimming over with love to the Lord Jesus and with the joy of our God. Lord, we believe that we don't praise thee enough. We get through every day as professing believers, but some of us are not singing. Some of us are never singing the praises of the Lord at all. We've never known what it is to say, praise the Lord, and fully mean it. But we ask thee, Lord, do this for us now. Fill us with thy joy, with such a delight in the Lord, and such a love for the Lord, our hearts will just flow over with the praise of the Lord Jesus. May we feel something of our indebtedness to the Lord. May we see what a bounty He has given to us in Christ. Lord, we're not poor. We're rich. We're richer than the richest millionaire if we have the Lord Jesus. If we can say, I'm an heir of glory. I have a mansion in heaven. Oh, Lord, then we're well off. We have something that the world cannot give. And we're glad to say we have something the world can never take away from us. Help us now. Turn us in our hearts to thee. Give to us a real blessing this day from the open page of the Scriptures. Make the Word of God a treasure store. And, O God, may we come a as those who are reaching out for all that God has for us. Make thy word to be like one of Joseph's storehouses, so full that Joseph had lost count of all the tons of stuff he had set aside for the evil day. Oh God, we thank thee that there is provision for thy people. Grant that we may not go away hungry and poor and needy and wretched when there is the fullness of the Lord set aside for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Chapter 44 in Ezekiel's prophecy is about the worshipper at the sanctuary of the Lord. We have found ourselves already talking about the Levite, that man in the tribes of Israel who is set apart unto the service of the Lord. And fittingly so, because his name comes from a word which means to join. And consequently, the Levite is one who is joined closely and everlastingly to the Lord in the minds of God's people. What a picture of the believer. Are we also to be engaged in the service of the Lord Jesus? Are we also to have connections with God's house, with the sanctuary on earth? Yes, we are. We are to be as those set apart unto the Lord. And we certainly are those who are to be joined to Him in the bonds of the everlasting covenant. Anything that there is in the world, you may be sure, is designed to put a gap, to put a separation between us and our God. And consequently, the child of God, like the Levite, in verse 10 of the chapter, may find that he has gone away from God. And some who are more wretched and more unfortunate, like the Levite in verse 10, has gone away far from the Lord. This ought not to be. The Levite, by his calling, by the very name that he's known by, is to be one who's joined to the Lord. He should be attached to the Lord and show that attachment. That attachment should be very real. That attachment should be exceedingly close. And if we are going to mirror ourselves by what we see in the Word of God, then that attachment should appear in us as well. But verse 30 takes us on a little further. It was part of the duty of the Levite to receive the tithe and the offering, the first of all the first fruits of all things. No statement in Scripture could be more all-embracing than this one. The first fruits. Well, I take it that's clear enough in itself as a term, the first fruits. Consider a harvest field. And God is saying the first of the produce here should come to me. You can think of the orchards laden with abundance. And God is saying the first is to come to me. And how clear is verse 30? Because there seems to be a double emphasis here, a going over what might have been obvious before. The first of all the first fruits. The first of all the first fruits. It might have been enough, it should have been enough, surely, for the Scripture to say, the first fruits, without doubling up on the emphasis that first place is to be given to the Lord. The first place is His when it comes to work, when it comes to service. The first, the Hebrew farmer will think, the first of all the first fruits is to be given to the Lord. There's a beautiful thought here. A thought related to Christian stewardship. Last Lord's Day, we were considering all that the Lord has given to us. And that theme has been suggested in the hymn we had just now. The Lord has given us all that we possess. Today, we're going to change the emphasis somewhat to consider what we're to give to Him. Verse 30 will do as well for the starting point. The first of all the first fruits of all things. And every oblation of all, of every sort of your oblations. Notice the repetition of the word all, the repetition of the word first, the repetition of the word every. As we said, nothing could be more embracing than the language of this verse. No matter what area of your life you're looking at, this is the sense of the passage. No matter what area of your life you're looking at, the first place should be given to the Savior. Oh, what a big statement that is. The first part of all your joys should be reserved for the Lord Jesus. The first part of your time should be given to Him. The first part of your life, and certainly the first part of the day, should be His. Now, this is going to strike an awkward note, because some of us are not giving the Lord Jesus the first part of anything. We're not giving Him the first part of our heart's affections. We're not giving Him the first part of the day. We're not giving to Him the first of all the first fruits. We're not giving to Him the first of all that He has given unto us. There are some who are leaving the Lord to the last. And indeed there are others who haven't even time to fit the Lord in at the last either. What place does the Lord Jesus have in your worship? What place does He have in your life? What place does He have still in your affections? The first of the first fruits. And the Scripture says, furthermore, the first of all the first fruits is to be given to Him. God's people then are taught about giving. It's not just a matter here as we go through Ezekiel 44 to have the Lord give to us, but we have to consider giving to Him. A Christian's devotedness is sometimes known by the way he's giving to the Lord. There are some who are very mean in their response to the things of God. It's as much as they can give to give anything. Don't you know God has given you all you have? If you're earning any money, don't you know that God has given you the health, the soundness of mind to earn any money you've got in your pocket? Don't you know, too, that God has blessed your labors? Have you forgotten that? This is going to be a timely message. For we can't emphasize over much the fact that the Christian who devotes himself will also show that devotion in his giving. It's not just a question of God giving to you. It is how you give to God that counts. And consequently, if, as a result of this meeting this morning with God and with His Word, you find that you're not honoring God in the way you give, I want you to put that matter right. Remember this, God could take from you what He has given. It would be the easiest thing for the Lord just to call back all He has given you. And then if He left you penniless, if He left you destitute, you would recognize how much, after all, God has given you. These things must be deeply underlined as we go to the Word of God to investigate the subject. Turn to chapter 20 in this prophecy. Chapter 20, verse 40. This 40th verse, I believe, looks forward to a coming day when the nation of Israel will turn to the Lord. But be that as it may, there is a firm line of teaching in the verse. Chapter 20, verse 40. For in mine holy mountain, in the mountain of the height of Israel, saith the Lord God, there shall all the house of Israel, all of them in the land, serve me. There will I accept them, and there will I require your offerings, and the firstfruits of your oblations, with all your holy things. There will never be a time, however blessed, but God will not require His people to serve Him along the lines of giving. We'll show the significance of this in a little while to come. But let's just make the simple statement, first of all, that serving the Lord in part requires us to give. If you take your pen and mark in verse 40 the words, "Serve me." All the house of Israel, the Lord is saying in the verse, all of them in the land shall serve me. And part of that service to God is along the line of giving. God says, "I will require your offerings. I will require your offerings." God requires something of them. He has given His blessing. He has bestowed His honor upon them, and He will require from them their offerings. "I will require it," God says, "the first fruits of your oblations." The Christian is to recognize that now that he belongs to the Lord, he should make some return. That return is a recognition of what God has done for him. He's saying as he makes that return, "I recognize that all that I have has come from thee." The Christian who does not do that is suggesting to himself, "All that I have is mine. All that I have earned. All that I have has come to me quite independently of the Lord. I have got this without the Lord." Do you think that? Is there anybody in this congregation who imagines that? "I have the house I have without the Lord. I have the family I have without the Lord. I have the job I have without the Lord. I have the means of earning an income without God." Anybody here who imagines that? If you have employment in a time like this, you can thank God for it. If you have an income, you can say, "I recognize God has been good to me." If you have health and strength to earn it, you received the health and strength you have from God as well. And He says, "I require a return from you to recognize what I have given to you." First of all, the first fruits. Those were the words we read in our starting text. The first of all the first fruits is to go to the Lord. But today we want to go through different parts of the Bible and get an idea of the general teaching of the Lord on this subject. Deuteronomy chapter 14. And while you're turning up the place, Deuteronomy 14, I will just point out to you that in all the years of my ministry, I have never preached one whole message on the subject of giving. Of course, I have preached about the tenth. Of course, I have preached about honoring the Lord and giving, but I've never taken up one whole Sunday morning with the subject. And I have felt today God would have me do this. Just you lift your Bible and look at Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22. This is what God is saying to His people way back in the days of Moses. Verse 22, "Thou shalt truly tithe." Stop there. "Thou shalt truly tithe." The word "truly" will mean honorably, honestly. "Thou shalt honestly tithe. Thou shalt scrupulously tithe. Thou shalt in such a fashion as to recognize God Almighty. Thou shalt tithe." That's what the word "truly" will mean here. Thou shalt truly tithe. You're not to dodge your responsibility in this matter. You're not to try and cheat out on God. Child of God, thou shalt truly tithe. You're to come to God with honor, with integrity. Thou shalt truly tithe. There is to be a recognition of the Lord in your giving. Thou shalt truly tithe. Then the next word is all. Thou shalt truly tithe all. All the increase. Do you see the word "increase"? Why, the Lord will give you more. This is a blessed thing. He may give you only a little more. He perhaps will not be able to trust you with a great deal more. There are some of God's people who couldn't be trusted with wealth. and therefore the Lord will keep you working on less. Don't be discontented at that, but just praise the Lord that you can serve Him and be content with what you have. But should the Lord increase what you've got, then just you recognize that by giving to the Lord. Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. Thou shalt truly tithe. The Lord required His people to give. Turn to the book of Leviticus, chapter 27. Verse 30. Chapter 27 is the last in the book of Leviticus. And in this last chapter, verse 30, we come across teaching again concerning tithing. The word tithe may be a rather strange-looking word to you. And you may say, well, what does that word mean? The word tithe means a tenth. Therefore, when God requires His people to give, He doesn't say, well, just give whatever you like if you want to give in a rather restrained fashion. Well, then do that. If you want to give liberally, you can do that. But, the Lord has a starting point. And He says, there's the tithe. There's the tenth. And verse 30 couldn't be more explicit. And all the tithe. Haven't we noticed how the word all and every has come up in a number of these places that we have looked at in the Bible? All the tithe! All the tenth, then, the Lord's speaking about here. Give all of it. Give all the tenth to the Lord. All the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Now, there's a new thing here. We have already considered the first fruits, recognizing the Lord and recognizing all that He has given to us. The first, all the first of the first fruits. We stressed those words a little while ago. But now the Scripture says, all the tithe is the Lord's. It doesn't matter whether it's the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, it's the Lord's. Now you may say, I don't know if I'll give the tithe. I don't know whether or not I'll give this. It must be pointed out to you. Just you look at verse 32. Just look at this verse 30. Along with the rest of us. It's the last chapter of Leviticus. If you don't look at the book, you're not going to be helped by it. You need to get a word from God. At least you need to know what God's will is. You need to know what the teaching of Scripture is, whether you're obedient to the Lord or not. The first thing required of you is to know what God's teaching. And you need to look at least at your Bible. Chapter 27, verse 30. All the tithe. Whether you say, I think that I would need to keep the tithe. Whether you say that or not, this verse 30 says, the tithe is not yours. This verse 30 says, the tithe belongs to Him already. It's not yours to decide whether you'll give it or not. The tithe is His. That means, if that money is already in your pocket and you haven't honored God with the tithe, it means you're holding back that which belongs to Him. You're holding back the Lord's money. You're keeping the Lord's money for yourself. You're a bit like Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament, people whom God struck dead because they held on to the Lord's money. I hasten to point out that they were struck dead because they professed before the whole congregation they were giving all, when indeed they were not. Because of their treachery, the Lord smote them. No wonder. They were lying in the house of God. But the tithe is the Lord's. Therefore, it's not left to us to decide what we'll do with it. The tithe already belongs to him. The tithe is the Lord's. And if you're keeping it, you're keeping the Lord's money for yourself. Are you dealing with that? Go a wee bit further. All the tithe, you see, is the Lord's. And that's a fact before you get any further. All the tithe that you have is already the Lord's. It just doesn't become the Lord's when you give it. It's already his. Then, of course, there would be some not willing to give. And they would want to hold back. They would look perhaps at if it had to be the animals of the field, and they were to tithe what they had of the produce of the land. Here's a man who says, oh, here's the tenth animal that I'm going to give to the Lord. This is the tenth here. What a fine animal that is. As I look at him, he's the best in the field. Should I give that one to the Lord? How could I do that? I know what I'll do. I'll go along. The Hebrew with reason. I'll go along to the priest at the sanctuary because I have to bring the tithes there. And I'll tell the Levite, I want to keep this animal. He's a fine looking animal. I don't want to give him up. And therefore, I'll pay some money for him. I'll pay that money in. Verse 31. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he says, I'll keep that fine animal. Oh, what a magnificent beast is there. I'll keep that one. I'll tell the Levite that. He shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. And God says, well, you can have them, but you'll add a fifth more above the value. Think of a Jew being told to do that. You'll add a fifth more on top of that. And then verse 32, concerning the tithe of the herd or the flock or even whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be the Lord's. Here he is putting his flock or the herd under the rod and counting them out as they go along, and the tenth is the Lord's. Should that animal be the finest in his possession, the tenth is the Lord's. Verse 33, do you see this? God knows the heart of man, how mean he is in his heart. He wants to hang on to that which even belongs to the Lord rather than give to the Lord that which is his. He would cheat the Lord. He would steal from the Lord. He would hold back on what belongs rightfully to the Lord. He's cheating God. And do you see, when he's counting out the animals, he's noticing that this animal that's due to be tenth in the line, oh, that's the best one, let's suppose, in this theoretical incident. That's the best one. Well, let me poke with my stick and poke him out of the road and get another one. And there's one there that looks right and skinny looking. And he hasn't done it all well. I'll try and drive him into the tenth position and he'll be the Lord's. Do you see that verse 33? He shall not search whether it be good or bad. He's not allowed to do that. Neither shall he change it. He's not to say, oh, there's the wrong one that's got through. And number 10 it is. And that will be the Lord's property. Well, let me drive him back there and get another one in his place. No, he'll not change it. That's the Lord's. He'll not go back on it. What a marvelous picture this is of the Christian in his dedication. It's a way, way beyond the simple matter of giving. You'll not change it. It means you'll not go back on your commitment. You've committed yourself to the Lord and there's no turning back. What you propose to do for the Lord, you'll do it. If you're saying, I'll stand for God, then you'll carry out that commitment. If you're saying, I'll give to the Lord, I'll give him my heart, I'll give him my life, then you'll stand to it and not go back on it. You'll not change it. Or if he changes it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy. What do you think of that one? If at length he says, I will change it, and he takes out that fine animal and puts the other scraggy looking one in its place, God says, well then, you'll give me the two of them. You'll not change it. It shall not be redeemed. You'll not buy it back in that case. If you're committed to the Lord, then you are committed. If you're saying, I'm giving him the tenth, and you're giving him the tenth. The tithe is his. The tithe is the Lord's. Do you see that? God wants you to be serious about this matter. God wants you to bring him into your life. If you can't bring him into your life to such a degree that it touches your pocket, then I will say your heart's not moved. Your heart's not changed. Your heart is not touched. But if you're going to say, right, I'm committed to the Lord, then that commitment will touch your pocket. Let's take another scripture. It's clear before we do this that with the animals of the flock, this man didn't have the liberty to make a change. Otherwise, the Lord said, I'll keep the change as well as the one that should be mine. And you're not to drive out that good animal when he's coming in number 10 in the line. You knowing right well the 10th one is the Lord's. You're not to do that. Just you remember, I gave you them all. Just remember, I gave you them all. It's like you giving a lovely packet of sweets to your child and saying, then, give me one. And you look at the bag and there are 10 lovely sweets inside and you're saying to the child, give me one. You're only after handing the whole bag full to the child. And the child is saying, no, I'm not giving you any. What would you think of that? You give the bag full. And here's a child who won't part with one. You know who the child is? It's you. It's you. You're the person. God's calling your name here in this congregation. You're the person. And you wouldn't like to see that in a child. And you wouldn't like to see it in your own child. But I've got a mirror here. It's called the Bible. Just let me hold it up, and you get a look at it, and you'll see the child is yourself. You're holding back. And God's saying, give me that one. You'll have 9 more to eat all by yourself. Just you give me that one. And you're saying, no, that's mine. What an ungrateful thing. You're not prepared to believe. You're not prepared to recognize God gave you the whole bag full. That's the problem. Well, you're not to argue about this matter or dispute with God or change the animal and give him the scraggy one instead of the well-fed one should he come up number 10 in the list. We'll go back quickly to our chapter in Ezekiel. At the end of our chapter, verse 31, you maybe didn't notice the significance of this when you read it in the congregation earlier. Verse 31, the priest shall not eat of anything that is dead of itself or torn, whether it be fowl or beast. And maybe that verse was altogether meaningless to you. You could recognize, of course, that an animal could be dead, and you could recognize that another one could have been injured and injured so badly it was just about to cough out its last. Yet, God said, now the priest is not to have that. You know what that means? This is in the context of people giving to the Lord. You can't give to the Lord that which is scrap. Here's an animal that's dead, and a man wants to insult the Lord by giving him a dead animal. Here's another animal that has been injured and is virtually useless, and he said, oh, give that to the Lord. Anything will do. Oh no, the priest mustn't have that. You're not to bring that to the sanctuary. Don't be bringing something that's dead. And don't be bringing something that's torn. You'll give the Lord the best. Anything less just isn't good enough. If you love him, if you really love him, anything less than your best will not be good enough. Of course, some of you have thought of purchasing gifts. And you've taken those gifts to be an expression of the love of your heart. You wouldn't want to bring something that was shoddy and indifferent. You wouldn't want to bring something that would be an insult. But if it was to be a gift fully expressing the love of your heart, you'd want to give your best. That's the thought here. Don't be bringing something that's torn. Don't be bringing that to the Lord. Don't be bringing something that's dead or almost dead to offer that to Him. But give the Lord your very best. If it's your life, give Him the best years you have. If it's your heart, give Him the greater part of your heart. Give Him your life. Give Him your all. That's what God's teaching here. Put the Lord first. It's the first place. The first of all the first fruits to be His. Exodus chapter 22. I don't think we have looked at this one yet. Exodus 22. This takes us on a step further. Every time you'll notice we're getting on another degree. We have another facet of the subject to look at. And it's fascinating as well. Exodus chapter 22 and verse 29. We have shown already the Christian must truly tithe all that he has. He's to be honest in the matter. He's not to cheat God. He's not to hold back on God. He's to recognize that God has given to him and that God has required him to give unto the Lord. He has seen also, certainly today he has seen, the tithe belongs to the Lord. The tithe is the Lord's. But we have also seen that there would be an unwillingness to give. There's tardiness about giving. Somebody would want to cheat God and say, no, I couldn't give the tenth. I couldn't give the tenth. I couldn't give the tenth to the Lord. I need this. I need the tenth. But then conscience comes up when the Scripture teaches so clearly that the person at last concedes, well then, I will give, but you're going to give in a churlish way. You're going to give in a complaining sort of way. You're not going to give liberally and hilariously. You're not going to give gladly. You're going to give with reluctance and with a great deal of awkwardness about it. And you'll say, well, like some of the people who pay nowadays, I'll hang back a bit. I'll not pay it right away. I'll maybe keep it for a month. And then at the end of the month, I'll pay it then. I'll pay it all right. But I'll not pay it now. I'll hold on to the end of the month and then I'll settle it. Is that what you say? And do you know that the tithe is His? Well, look at verse 29.
Thou shalt not delay to offer the first of thy ripe fruits and of thy liquors, the firstborn of thy sons shalt thou give unto me.
Even the first, and your children, you should give to the Lord. In Israel, that meant that the child could go full time into the work of God. They would put him into the service of God. And when the tribe of Levi was set apart, God said, all right, Levi will serve instead of the rest of your families, instead of the firstborn in the family. And that's another story. And then God required certain things of His people in order that they would recognize that the Levite would stand instead of the firstborn in the family. He would serve the Lord. It says here, you'll not delay. That is to say, you're to be prompt in your giving. If the tithe is the Lord, then you'll give it right away. If that money you've got in your pocket belongs to the Lord and is not yours by right, you're not going to hold on to it. You'll put it up right away and you'll say, that's the Lord's. Thou shalt not delay. If you do delay and you say, well, I'll keep it for a while and later I'll pay it, you're in error. You're not prompt in your giving. You're not honoring God in this matter. And you fail to see that the tithe is the Lord's. Do you see that in the last line of verse 30, on the eighth day thou shalt give it me. On the eighth day. The Jews worshipped on the seventh day. That was like our Saturday. Saturday was the seventh day. You see the day for giving? The eighth day. What day is that? What's the day after Saturday? The Lord's Day. You give it to me. The eighth day. It's to be the Lord's. Does the New Testament teach anything like this? Let's check it out and see. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. First Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. God speaks about the Christian and his money. I want that to settle into your heart. God speaks about the Christian and his money. You will know before now that God speaks about the Christian and his language. God speaks about the Christian in prayer. God speaks about the Christian and what he does with his Bible. God speaks about the Christian and his testimony. Well, I have news for you. God also speaks about the Christian and his money concerning the collection. Now, I've given order to the churches in Galatia, he says. Look at verse 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you. That doesn't leave anybody out. It just doesn't say here, let the session and committee and the minister do this. But it says, let every one of you do this on the first day of the week. Now, I want you to see this. It's the first day. Because the Lord is first with the Christian. Isn't that right? Isn't that the way it should be? God is first with the Christian. And he shows it by what he does with his money. This is Christian stewardship. This is proving it. You prove it by your money. There's an old saying in this country, like it or not, you put your money where your mouth is. And if you're saying, the Lord's first with me, you'll put your money there. Is that the case? Are you delaying? Are you doing it the first day? The very first day? The first day of the week? I think it's good practice on the strength of that. The first day you have it, just put it aside. That's the Lord's. That's the way to do it. You'll not delay. Don't be saying, well, I'll calculate the 10th later. I'll calculate the 10th at the end of the week. It doesn't say that here. On the first day of the week, the very first day, you have it there. You just put that aside. That's the Lord's. That's the practice for the Christian. If you wait until the end of the week, by that time you'll have part of it spent. You'll see all sorts of things you'd like to have. And you'll have some of that money spent. Some of God's money will be spent. And there it is. It's gone. How can you pay the 10th after that? The Lord not only shows you how to give, he tells you that you're to give the 10th. And not only so, but he says you'll do it first. Because he knows your heart. And before long, you'll not be giving anything like the 10th to the Lord. Do you know that there could be thieves in this congregation? All over this congregation, there are thieves. They've stolen from God. They've kept back the tithe. And they want to use what is God's for themselves. They're like the child with the 10 sweets in the bag. The bag that you've given to them. Well, the scripture says here, furthermore, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him. Where did you get the money you've got there, I say? Where did you get that money? It was the Lord who gave you it. As God hath prospered him, let there be no gatherings when I come. You'll do it. In proportion, lay by him in store as God has prospered him. Therefore, if you only got £10 in the week, you'd give one of those 10 to the Lord. If you got £100 in the week, you'd give the 10th part, the 10 to the Lord. It's proportionate. It's proportionate. Every one of you. It's proportionate. So if the Lord actually prospers you, next year to where you're getting £1,000 a week. We're not making that a prophecy. But if the Lord prospered you to where you're getting £1,000 a week, you'll give him £100. Do you think the Lord will give you £1,000 a week next year if you can't even give him the 10 out of the 100? Has the Lord any incentive to bless you financially the way you're giving to him? Are you stealing God's money? On the first day of the week. Why the first? Because God's first with the Christian. And because if the Christian doesn't do it on the first day, he's likely to keep it. He'll find that the harder to give, the longer it goes on through the week. If he leaves it to the weekend, as we put it. If he lets it come to the weekend, he's going to really find it a hard job to part with it. He should part with it at the first. Don't delay to offer. Just do it now, God's saying. Do it now and get rid of it. Break the power of money in your life. The Christian's not to be given to covetousness. Let him break the power of that. And let him see that he recognizes God gave him everything he has by giving back the tithe. That's the thought here. This is a picture of dedication to the Christian. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. You see the word first. There was the fellowship of ministering to the saints. Paul was talking to these churches of Macedonia about, verse 4 says. And these people were willing to give and enter into that fellowship of ministering to the saints. And this they did, he said. They started to give. They were giving to God's work. Not as we hoped. They just didn't do it the way that we thought at the first. But first of all, first, they gave themselves. Now, that's a wonderful thing. First, they gave themselves. There's no problem giving the tithe if you've given yourself. If you've put your life, your all, on the altar. Do you see this? If you have given God your all in your heart, if you've put your all on the altar, there's no difficulty giving the tithe. No matter self. But if you have not, put your all on the altar, then you'll find it difficult to give the tithe.